Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, as many of you know, this afternoon we will be gathering for a retreat, and all of you are invited. I'll make that invitation. And this is an important time together for our congregation. For over 5 years, we have been sort of trying to put together a ministry plan. And so I was thinking that if we're going to have a retreat, the very first thing that we must do, because we are Lutherans, is have lunch. So we're going to have lunch, and I began to think to myself, I wonder what we should do about lunch, and because I'm a trained theologian, I thought, of course, one must turn to the Bible to find out about lunch. And where else would I turn but the 11th chapter of Leviticus? You've been there, have you? Well, in the 11th chapter of Leviticus, we find out what we can and cannot have for lunch. As the Lord spoke to Moses, he said, "From all among all the land animals, these are the creatures that you may eat. Any animal that has a divided hoof and is cleft-footed and chews the cud, you can eat those." Do you know what they are? Any farmers? Cows, sheep, and goats. Very good. "But among those that chew the cud or have divided hoofs, you shall not eat the following. No camels for lunch. For though it chews the cud, it does not have divided hooves. Plus, it's unclean. Or," now this is going to disappoint many of you, "you may not have rock badger for lunch. For even though it chews the cud, it does not have divided hooves. And," you can say it, "it's unclean for you."
Hi.
Hi.
I realize you graduated from seminary a really long time ago, and some of us are fresher at this. But, so I've got a question. What are you doing?
Well, I was getting the menu ready for this afternoon.
Okay, were you paying attention when Roy read that part from Acts? Because you're sounding an awful lot like Peter before he had his meeting with Cornelius.
Well, actually, I was reviewing my sermon. What did he have to say?
Well, he was telling people about this vision he had about clean and unclean, and you're a little bit in the before vision part of Peter.
So, what are you trying to say? I mean, I personally think Peter was doing just a very fine job before that whole vision thing. I mean, he had brought people to Christianity. He had done a great job of making sure that everyone was following the rules. He made sure that all the right people were in the church.
Unfortunately, he was wrong.
Excuse me?
Peter was wrong.
Well, Padawan learner, I'm not so sure that you know what you're talking about. What do you mean Peter was wrong?
Let's review.
Oh, you're going to go to Scripture, aren't you?
Yes, I am. In fact, the book of Acts that we read this morning and listened to, there was this story, and Peter had this experience, and he's retelling this experience to people who are giving him a hard time for ministering to the Gentiles. Because Peter had been a good and faithful Jew and was certain, rock certain, that you had to follow all of the Jewish holiness code and dietary laws, and was marching right along kind of like you just were.
That's because he was
except
right.
Except then he's hanging out on the rooftop and has a vision. A sheet comes down from heaven with all of these animals on it that previously had been unclean, probably like camels. Badgers, I believe, were mentioned.
Rock badgers.
They were probably on this sheet, and a voice from heaven came out and said, "Peter, it's not up to you to decide what's clean and unclean. Everything God makes is good and clean and holy, and you don't get to pick and choose."
Are you sure he just hadn't had a little rock badger for lunch and was like spacing out on rock badger?
Well, he wouldn't have had the rock badger, because until the vision, he wouldn't have eaten it. So no, that was not the deal.
Well, I hear you, Pastor Katie, but it just seems crazy. It sounds to me like what you're trying to tell us is that we don't need to worry so much about all that stuff, that somehow God's love is the most important thing.
Crazy, but true.
But you know what? If we follow that, Pastor Katie, I want you to think about this. If we go into this deal where all of a sudden everyone's acceptable and there's not good, strong dietary laws to guide us on our way, if we don't know exactly who should be in the church and who shouldn't, who should be pastors and who shouldn't, present company accepted, we'll end up in utter and complete chaos. Before you know it, everybody will be a Christian.
Wouldn't that be great, though? I see no problem with this plan.
Well, I guess maybe you're right. And I guess, you know, I was thinking about a retreat this afternoon, and if what you say is true, then as we gather today, we should not worry so much about lunch or rock badgers. Mary Jo, or Jeannie, throw out the rock badger stew. Or, well, no, we can eat it.
We can eat
it's
it,
It's okay,
yes.
We can eat the rock badger stew. But we should be thinking about how God is expanding God's ministry.
Well, if you think about Peter, he went up to the rooftop probably to cool off. And he had this vision and was completely surprised by God and what God said to him. He was convinced he was doing the right thing, following what God wanted him to do. And this vision comes from heaven, and God three times says, "You don't get to call profane what I call clean." Three times, because Peter was not exactly quick on the uptake.
Not the brightest bulb in the packet.
Yeah. And we know he finally gets it. Because Peter, as he's retelling the story to these faithful Jews who can't believe he's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with these outsiders, says, "If God gave the Gentiles the same gift that God gave us when we believed in Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could get in the way of God?"
So maybe we should wonder how we could possibly be know so much that we should get in the way of God. Well, Padawan learner, the master bows to your wisdom, and we find today the joy of Christ, that in Christ's word we are all made whole, and that God calls holy God's creation, and we are called into it, and that maybe God's going to call us to things that surprise us in the way that Peter was surprised. It's going to be hard, but we'll try to give thanks. Amen.